Seat. And we are back with Foundations doing something new tonight. We had, as before, the last few months, as we've been going through Come and See on Sunday mornings, we had Tell the Truth, as we talked about how do we have our own gospel conversations. It's been a whole season, if you will, of us looking at, as a church, how do we share the good news of Jesus, whether that's on a Sunday morning, or in our own conversations with people. And before we jump in tonight, just a little bit of an idea of what this idea of signs of life is about is really just to start looking at the fact of, what does it look like though? What does it look like when someone has crossed that line of faith and has life in Jesus? And we're gonna talk about that through the book of 1 John. But on the table in front of you, just to get our conversation going, there are some envelopes, depending on how you wanna pronounce it, and some sticky notes. And what I want you to do really quickly, don't think about this hard, just for like 30 seconds, write down one maybe little known fact about yourself. One little known fact about yourself and slide it in that envelope. So take 30 seconds, write something down. We're going to see around that table that you came in with, how well do you know each other? How well do you know each other? So once everyone's put one of those in, then the idea is you're going to take one out one by one and everyone's going to have a vote around your table around who that note belongs to. So just one little known fact, put it in that envelope. Once they're all in, maybe just hand that envelope around the table, pull them out one by one, and each of you take a guess as you read it as to who that one belongs to. We're not going to do it all big in the room. That'd be too big. Just do it around your tables. All right, get those notes in the envelope. Shouldn't be too hard. Once they're in the envelope, some of you are, yeah, I see the notes going in, all right. Now start passing it around your table. Each one, pull one out, read it to your table, all right? And then try to guess around the table, who is that person? By what's written on there, try to take a guess. Maybe you did jail time earlier in life. You have a tattoo, who knows what it is, but. I'm hearing some laughter. This is good. This is what I hope for. All right, just another minute or two. See if you can, how many you can get through. All right, maybe just pull one more slip out of the envelope and do that last one, and we'll come back. All right, as you wrap that up, did anyone learn anything? You don't have to share it in the room. Did you learn anything new about the people around your table? Maybe there's stuff you thought you knew about them. There's a side maybe you've come to realize you didn't know about them. That's going to be kind of just a paradigm, if you will, just a little lens for us to look through in just a moment about this whole idea of signs of life. So we're going to do one more thing here. I have a special guest that I want to see if you can guess who this individual is. Now, if you put up the next slide, guys, just leave it there. Do you know me? Okay, can everybody see it? Can you guys see it all right over there? Oh, you got it on the sides too. Okay, great. So if you figure out who this person is before we get to the end, it's going to be revealing tile by tile here. If you figure it out, don't shout it out. Just try to figure if you can guess by what you know and what you see who this person is. So just if you do the first one, first thing here, I was born in June of 1982. Okay, next one. I was the first in my family to be born in hospital. You like how I contextualized that? I didn't say in the hospital as an American would, I said in hospital. Next one. My mother called me Wombat. Next one. I enjoy a good full English breakfast. Oh, I hear murmurs. Next one. I am married with three children. Oh, yeah, I know this. All right. Next one. I was an air ambulance pilot. Next one. I support Aston Villa FC. Boo, some of you. Next one. I am the future king of the United Kingdom. Now, hopefully you got it long before this reveal that we know this is who. You can take that last square away, guys. No, I am not. All right, who did that? Ben, did you do that? If only. No, I am Prince. Right? I am delusional. That's who I am, right? Why did I put this up? This whole idea, as you think about what you think you know about somebody, says a lot. And it is also a reflection as we think about tonight about what it means to have eternal life. Because that's really what we're talking about. What is that life that we're actually talking about? Because it's related to a person. Like, if you go to the next slide, I cannot imagine what it's like to live this existence. Right? As we think about the royal life, right? Is probably, as you think about the royal life, is a completely different existence than anyone and any of the rest of us in this room or the rest of the world in many ways can think. This is not what my family moments look like. I don't know about yours, but this is not what my family moments look like. I did think of a picture from holiday that just happened randomly that our family ended up looking somewhat like we were posing for a picture like this, and it was really funny. But if you think about it, the way they approach life is way different than us. Why? Because they live in a different existence than us in many ways. They think differently. They act differently because there is a different status, if you will. There's a different mode of existence that goes along with royal life. As we think of what we knew about Prince William, who's going to be the future king, there's all kinds of things that maybe you could know about him, but I can't know what it's like to enter into royal life. I would be lost, as we all would, in that. But we're talking about something far more significant and far greater. And the reality is that anyone in this world can have access to through faith in Jesus Christ. What is eternal life? That is the question we're asking ourselves tonight. And what we're going to do in this next few weeks is look through some themes in the book of 1 John. around what we're calling signs of life. As Mike, if you were here this morning, was announcing, these evidences that point to if someone has crossed the line of faith, has been converted to Jesus Christ. So what we're looking at, as we're going to see tonight, it is the life of God himself that comes into somebody's life, that we enter into through faith in Jesus. And if we do that, it's real. It's not just an idea, but it's actually as if we've been switched to a different mode of existence. So we're going to be looking at 1 John tonight. If you have a Bible, feel free to open up to 1 John chapter 1, or if it's on your Bible app, or some key verses are going to be on the screens as we look at this. And there's going to be some more interacting around the tables tonight. So if you're not comfortable with that, don't worry about it. Just kind of chill and watch. But, you know, it's going to be some pretty straightforward stuff. So hopefully we can have some fun together. The book of 1 John. I want us to just look at 1 John chapter 1 and look at some verses together. I'm going to read them, starting at verse 1. About this whole idea of eternal life. And John, as he writes this, is going to be, from the beginning, be telling us that he wants us to understand something about this eternal life. He says, that which is from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked at and our hands have touched. So John is laying the groundwork for, he's an eyewitness to this. He was right there with Jesus, and he heard him, he walked with him, his hands touched him, maybe referring to, you know, the post-resurrection wounds of crucifixion. And he says, this we proclaim concerning the word of life. The life appeared, we have seen it and testify to it, and we proclaim to you the eternal life which was with the Father and has appeared to us. We proclaim to you what we have seen and heard, so that you also may have fellowship with us. And our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ. Now, without going into a ton of detail right off the bat, what is he saying? That there is a reality of eternal life. It is based in a person. He identifies the source of it. He says, the one who entered into history, Jesus Christ himself, is the one through whom eternal life comes. If you look at the verses, go to the next slide here, guys. But he talks about the word of life. The life appeared. He's talking about eternal life. And we proclaim to you what we have seen and heard. So why? So that you may have fellowship with us. And that word fellowship, why he's writing this letter about life, the source of eternal life, is he's, I want you to be a part of it. The word there for fellowship is a word sometimes you might hear around churches. It's a word, it's a Greek word, koinonia. And it means, it was a word that means to share in common, to participate in, to be a partner in. So when he's talking about eternal life from the beginning, he's not just talking about a concept to consider and understand, but a life to enter into, an existence that changes everything. As much as if you were, you know, if you think about marrying into royalty, right? Not the greatest recent history of Americans marrying into royalty. But if you were, how things would change, right? Maybe hard things, maybe amazing things, but things you couldn't possibly realize. The privileges, the pressures, all these other things. But when it comes to the life that we have here, he says there is eternal life, and it's a quality of life. It's a different kind of existence. And I'm writing this about Jesus Christ and the life you can have in him because I want you to enter into it as well. In fact, he goes further. That's the front door. The back door, he says this. Go to the next set of verses, guys, in 1 John chapter 5 towards the end. He says, this is the testimony. God has given us eternal life, and this life is in his Son. Whoever has the Son has life. Whoever does not have the Son does not have life. I write these things to you who believe in the name of the Son of God, that you might know, so that you might know that you have eternal life. Just go to the next slide that I have highlighted there, guys. Again, he comes back. Eternal life, and this life, how does it come? Through his Son. And whoever has the Son has life. And in fact, you can have a confidence that you know. So when we think about these signs of life that we're going to be talking about in 1 John, what I don't want us to be thinking of is a bit of like a spiritual clipboard. You know, like we're the supervisors walking around the church saying, I see the signs of life in you. Maybe not in you. You know, that kind of like pharisaical attitude. That's not what we're talking about, because not one of us can know these things. I can't know with certainty what's happened in your heart, nor can you in mine. All we can do is look at one another's lives and say, what does it point to? But he's writing this to Christians, and there's meant to be an assurance. There's meant to be in this, he says, a confidence that you can have. And that confidence, see, he's writing actually, just to give you an idea into a bit of the background of 1 John. There was a movement in the early church, a spirituality movement, Gnosticism. Not going to go down this rabbit trail too much. But it's relevant for this, and it's relevant in our modern day lives because it keeps cropping up over and over and over again. It's the gift that keeps on giving because it appeals to a lot of things for us, Gnosticism. We'll talk about it in just a little bit. But what was true of Gnosticism is basically it was a hodgepodge of spirituality, and it rejected authority, and it basically said the path to spirituality is one of enlightenment, and it was throwing off restraints, and it was looking yourself. I mean, basically, it was the basis of the script for, like, Frozen, right? It's like, you know, let it go, just be yourself, and all the, and it's kind of the thing, the gift that keeps on giving, and it keeps coming back. And he would say, like, well, you know, it's about the knowledge that you have and how enlightened you are and what stage of development you've come to. And John was saying, no, it's not. It's about whether you have life in Jesus, and this is how you can know you have life in Jesus. If you see these things we're going to be talking about in 1 John, you can have confidence that you have eternal life. It's not about how far initiated you are into some mystical experience. It's whether you have life in Jesus' name. And what points to that? And it's possible to know with certainty. And I remember as a young man being like 16, 17, being rocked by the thought, because I didn't grow up with this thought, that it's possible that I can know with certainty whether I have life, eternal life. And that goes for all of us. So we're going to look at what these signs of life look like. But first, let's just talk a little bit about eternal life. Go to the next set of verses here, guys, because we think about eternal life. The Bible isn't always really definitive in explaining what eternal life is, meaning it doesn't just drop a definition in the middle of the Bible. It gives us some, but it also describes what it looks like. So, key verse, John 17, verses 1 through 3. We're going to read this. Father, the hour has come. Glorify your Son so that your Son may glorify you, for you granted him authority over all people that he might give what? Eternal life to all those you have given him. Now this is eternal life, that they may know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent. So again, as we think about this eternal life, the source of it, what it's all about, it's about knowing Jesus. As we talked about telling the truth, you remember we said Christianity is not just something to believe, it is someone to receive. It is relational. It's why we've said as a church, we exist to invite all people into an ever-growing relationship with King Jesus. It's about being relationally engaged and connected to him. See those verses there, if you highlight that for me, guys. This is eternal life, that they may know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent. So it's a relational thing. And it's also something, just like I said, if we were to enter into a different form of life, this is what it's meant to be with eternal life as well. If you go to the next verses, guys, in John chapter 5, Jesus said, very truly I tell you, whoever hears my word and believes him who sent me has eternal life. Highlight that for me, please. And will not be judged, but has crossed over from death to life. This is an actual, not theoretical, not just like a religious thought. It's a moving from one kind of life into another. A change of status, a change of existence. So we're going to think about what is eternal life. Eternal life is the supernatural life of God. Let that soak in. What is eternal life? It is the supernatural life of God. And what he's saying in 1 John is, it's possible for you to share in and experience that life through Jesus. You don't need some mystical experience or be initiated to some level of enlightenment. You need Jesus. And if you have Jesus, you have life. But what points to that being true in your life? Again, this is what the whole point of 1 John is to read it either as someone saying, oh, I see this. These things have happened in my life. Therefore, I can have assurance. I can know that I have eternal life. But the flip of that is for us to pause and consider that maybe if I don't see those things, it should cause me to ask, where do I stand with him? So what points to this being true in an individual's life? If you go to the next slide there, guys. Who can name him right off the bat? Russell Brand, right? Russell Brand. I don't know if you know the big news that I saw this morning come across my newsfeed is Russell Brand is going to be baptized as a Christian, he says. Now, he's going to do it in the River Thames, which doesn't really tie in with the idea of purity in my mind. Right, and being cleansed. But wouldn't it be great if Russell Brand could come to the members course going on the other side of the building right now, right? Anyway, he's going to be baptized. Now, some of you in the room may be saying, oh, I'm skeptical. I don't know. He's out there. I don't know. But not for us to judge, perhaps. But what would be the evidence, whether it's him or any of us, to be honest? Somebody says, I'm going to identify as a follower of Jesus. I do identify myself as a follower of Jesus Christ. What does it look like? Because the truth is, in sometimes if we're in a church like ours that emphasizes the teaching of God's word, which is essential, or you are a kid who's grown up in that, there's this danger that we equate knowing God with knowing the right answers. That eternal life is about knowing the right formula to regurgitate or to adhere to, which is essential. There's truth. There's something to believe, but there is someone to receive. And if we enter into the life of God, this is why it's so important to know who he is. That's why I asked you guys at the beginning, how well do you know each other? How well do we know this guy on the screen? How well do you know who God really is? Because that's the life you're entering into. It's his life. It's not simply a modification of your own. You could look at Prince William and say, well, he looks just like me. He has to shower, I'm sure. I'm sure he stinks. You know, he gets sweaty. He gets hungry, all these other things. But there's dynamics about his life, his existence that are different, fundamentally different. That should be true of you as well if you're a follower of Jesus. You look just like anybody else, but there's something fundamental to your existence that's changed. You've entered into the life of God, and God is different. And so our lives should reflect that. What does it look like? Put up the next slide here. This is why we've said signs of life. Hopefully you've never been connected to one of these for long. Some of you maybe see these on a daily basis too much. You're like, oh, take it down. I don't want to see it. You know, but when we think about signs of life, what are they? They're things that point to our vital signs, right? So you think about what? Your blood pressure or your pulse rate or your blood oxygen level and all these different things that are interconnected and they give you a portrait of your physical health. Well, the things we're going to be looking at in 1 John are kind of like that. They're interconnected. They're not identical. We're going to start talking about, as we said, one tonight. And again, looking at them in the sense of how they point to whether we really have crossed into life like we were talking about. So let's just do this. I'm going to read these verses, and then I want you to do something around the table. All right? Talking now, what does it look like, eternal life? We're going to come to what that sign is as we process this together, if that's all right. So let me read 1 John. The next verse here, next slide here, guys. Chapter 1, verses 5 through 7. John says this. This is the message we have heard from him and declare to you. God is light. In him there is no darkness at all. If we claim to have fellowship with him and yet walk in darkness, we lie and do not live out the truth. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus, his son, purifies us from all sin. Now, here's what I want you to do in your little clusters, whether it's tables or in the back, wherever you are. And again, participate and share as much as you feel comfortable doing. But I want you to read these verses, or they'll be up here on the screen, all right? And ask this and talk about this. What contrasts do you see in these verses? There's a series of contrasts and comparisons, saying this is like this or this is different to this. Try to pick those out. There's a handful of them. Just talk about them really quick. Say, I see this. Just talk about them really quick and perhaps why they're important. I'll come back to it and explain why some of them are. But just take a look and talk about it around your tables. Excuse me, don't overthink this too much. They're pretty simple. They're pretty much right there. There's some comparison, some contrast. We'll come together in just a second. All right. Let's talk about this a bit. You guys go to the next slide. Let's talk about the comparisons. What does he say? This is the message we have heard from him and declare to you. God is what? God is light. When you think of light, what do you think of? Even non-biblical, you can think of it in movies and stories. Whenever there's light, light is usually something what? Good, clean, pure, life-giving. Right? One of my worst nightmares is to think of myself trapped in a dark place. My great-grandfather was a coal miner. I could not imagine doing that job 100 years ago. Taking a candle and a canary underground and just not being able to see. You think of darkness by way of contrast. It's just the exact opposite that he contrasts. And he's saying, look, God is light. We're thinking about the life of God. Remember, he says, even in these verses, if we claim to have fellowship with him, if we're a participant in his life, then we need to understand who he is. He's light. In him, there is no darkness at all. No moral impurity, no moral evil. This is so important when you think about what it means to have eternal life. If we claim to have fellowship with him, yet walk in darkness. You see the contrast here? He talks about a lie and the truth. a lie and the truth. And he says, it's a really interesting expression. We do not live out the truth. Really interesting, because he's saying this. Look at this really closely. He says, if we claim to have fellowship with him, participate in his life, he connects it with we lie and do not live out the truth. Living out the truth is in connection with eternal life. Make those connections. So if we are a participant of eternal life, the life of God within us, he says there's going to be something active in our lives that's going to start living out the truth. No longer walking in darkness. He brings up the contrast again. If we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus, his son, purifies us from all sin. There's this walking in the light dynamic. It's not perfection. It's living out the truth, walking in truth. Patty said it this morning, right? As Pilate said, what is truth? Jesus is the truth. He's the way, the truth, the life. To be in relationship with him, to have eternal life, means our lives will be shaped by that same truth of who he is, of cleansing us from our sins. And I don't want you to think of cleansing from sin. Maybe you think of it this way. I saw a news article came across my feed this morning saying, you know, people shower every day. Maybe you shouldn't shower every day. It's not the best for you. I'm like, you don't know my family. They need to shower every day. Trust me, right? But you think about, maybe you think of it more like your windscreen wipers. You know, it's like you're going through life and my windscreen wipers don't work that good. The intermittent thing doesn't work, so I have to constantly do it manually, and I let the rain build up, and then it's, right? And it's like the rain goes away, but then it comes back, and then it goes away, and it comes back, and it goes away, and it comes back. And you think, maybe that's the way your spiritual life goes. And nothing in this is suggesting, as we'll see in just a minute, of somehow we're going to have perfection in this life. But when it talks about purifying us, cleansing us, the idea is not for it to just continually get as dirty as it was before, but of purifying towards a life that is in fellowship with the Father. There's a dynamic here of change, of transformation. As we interact with God, as he shows us, particularly in light of his word, the light, thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. As God shows us himself, who he is, through his word. This is why it's a relationship. It's not just a textbook. It's God's letter to us. And he reveals himself to us, his character, everything. And we realize, I'm not in alignment with that. I'm a man of unclean lips. I live among a people of unclean lips. I need to be purified. I need to be changed. And when we do, we're engaging with God. We'll see in just a minute how we do that. But the whole point is, if we're entering into the life of God, that life reflects him. In him, God is light. In him, there is no darkness at all. So let's look at the second part of this, because he does it in two sections. He says it this way. If we claim, go to the next verse, to be without sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just and will forgive us our sins and purify us from all unrighteousness. Same kind of theme. If we claim we have not sinned, we make him out to be a liar and his word is not in us. So again, just real quickly around the tables. Think about this. What two responses to our sin can you identify in these verses? There's two approaches we can take. See if you can identify what they are. Just real quick around your tables. Just take a minute. two basic approaches. One of them gets repeated. Let's come back. You guys go to the next slide because it'll highlight this. Here's approach number one, right? Maybe you guys picked up on this, but there's a, if we claim, did you notice it repeats? If we claim, what's he saying? If we claim to be without sin, it may be significant here too that he's not saying without sins because he doesn't repeat himself, right? Sin, singular. If you're saying, look, sin's not even a thing for me. It's not something I struggle with. It's not something I accept or whatever the case may be. Maybe you think your spirituality means you don't have sin. That's not a category for you. God is love, you know, those kinds of things. He says, if that's one approach, you're deceiving yourself. In denial of the truth. And he says, if that's your approach, then you need to understand, you cannot claim to be a participant in the life of God. If God is light, you need to understand that you have a sin issue to deal with. The other thing he says again, if we claim we have not sinned, we make him out to be a liar. What's that mean? The truth is not in us. His word is not in us. What has he been saying throughout this whole passage? The blood of Jesus cleanses us from our sin. Why would Jesus have come and did what he did and God say, this is how we're cleansed if it's not necessary? What a waste. We make him out to be a liar and his word is not in us. That's the same kind. All these are the same kind of formulations of if his word is not in you, because remember, it's the word of life. It's eternal life. If his word is not in us, it's a way of saying his life is not in you. If this is your approach to life, if this is your approach to sin, if you claim this, that's one way to live in denial. But there's a contrast here. What's the other way to deal with it? Go to the next slide. If we confess our sins, not hide them over, but to agree with God about how he sees us. He looks at us, loves us, has made provision, and says, be cleansed through Jesus. Have life through Jesus. The way of life is not to tuck it all under the rug, pretend it doesn't exist, or live in defiant denial of these things, but to confess it, to agree with God about our sin, and to then, what does he say? God will forgive us our sins. He will purify us towards a holy life, that windscreen wiper thing again. What's the process? Walking in the light. Walking in the light doesn't mean you're perfect. None of us are. Hopefully our church is a place where you can be real, where you can come in and recognize we're not perfect. I hope you don't ever feel like that if you're a newer person in this church, like all of us have it together, because we don't. If we do, we're living in denial. If we think that, we're living in denial. That sign of life, what does it mean to walk in the light as he is in the light? Surely he's not saying we're perfect. No. But what it is saying is we're walking with God in such a way that we are becoming more like Jesus and experiencing more of that life. Sign of life number one, put it up, is basically this. In our relationship to sin, that we recognize that it's a problem in our lives, that we repent of it and resist it as a principle in our lives. And what this means when we think about eternal life is essentially this. It is not primarily a mystical experience, though it can be. I'm not saying you can't feel the presence of God, because I have, maybe you have, in a time of prayer or a time of worship, and you just know by his spirit, he's there he's everywhere present, we know, but relationally, sometimes in his mercy, he kind of manifests that a little bit. But what does it mean to have eternal life? It means to share in the life of God, and that means at its very core, it has a moral element to it. God is light. He's holy. And we're to be holy. He has forgiven us and given us life that we might be like him. We might become like him. We don't have the option of defining for ourselves what eternal life means. to have our own truth. You know, people say, what's your truth? No, there is no your truth, my truth, it's his truth. And his truth is that to have eternal life only comes through Jesus, only by his grace. It's a gift, and it's the gift also that keeps on giving. That's what it's meant to do in our lives. Not just guarantee us passage to heaven one day, eternal life, something we have, but something that's active in our lives, making us more like Jesus. And this is so relevant because, as I said, just as the gospel of grace is the gift that's supposed to keep on giving in our lives, making us more like Jesus, the lie is also the gift out there that keeps on giving. That's saying we can define spirituality on our own terms. This idea that being spiritual is about your own experience. I was reading a great book called Disappearing Church and how this reality of truth of life in Jesus is being obscured. And when we think about spirituality, tell me this doesn't sound like how many people think of it in our own time. Likening it back to Gnostic spirituality. Remember, that's what this was written to confront. And the reason it's relevant is because we still see it today. It's the spirituality then that is not one of obedience and faith, but rather of breaking boundaries, rejecting definitions, and transgressing limits. Answers are to be found where? Within. The great quest of life is to discover who you really are, to ignore what those around you say, break past the barriers, definitions, and rules placed around you, and flout any external authority, to look inside, find your true self, and self-create. And to that, the gospel says, no. You're all made in God's image and can be recreated in Christ to be made like him, to share in his life. The answers are not found inside of us. They're found outside of us. In him, the light, the truth, the life, God's life, eternal life, entails a moral transformation. And in order for that to happen, that sign of life, that something is healthy and right of God within you, is that you recognize sin, that it's a principle at work within you, and it acts out in every area of your life. And you repent of it. And you say, I don't want this. This isn't the life that Jesus died to give me. And you resist it. Not in your own strength, but in the strength that he gives. That's what eternal life is. And a sign of life in anybody, as we share the gospel with people, if you've been here on Sunday evenings and have been hearing it yourself, and you have been on that journey, so to speak, and you're not sure where you are with all of this, I guess I want to leave you with a question, a kind of stone in your shoe I've talked about in some of the evangelistic stuff we've done. Is as you hear this tonight, and John says, I write these things so that you can know that you have eternal life. Should you be walking out the doors tonight assured and confident? Meaning, yes, I know I'm not perfect, but I've seen God's work in my life, that I recognize my sin problem, I've repented of it, and I am resisting it in his strength with all my being. Or is this a moment to ask and to consider and say, what have I done with this King Jesus? Have I truly entered into life like John is talking about here? Is this my experience? Because again, it's not just believing the right things. You got to do that. You got to acknowledge what are the right things, the truth. Truth is singular. There's one truth. But has that truth led you to receive the one who's the author of truth and the author of salvation into your life? This has been a hard talk for me to prepare for because it is one that challenges us massively in terms of our own consistency, our own walk. And I was thinking of a song from years ago. This is a really old song. I'll just close with this, reading it, and then we're going to sing together. I keep trying to find a life on my own apart from you. I'm the king of excuses. I've got one for every selfish thing I do. What's going on inside of me? I despise my own behavior. This only serves to confirm my suspicions that I'm still a man in need of a Savior. I want to be in the light as you are in the light. I want to shine like the stars in the heavens. Oh Lord, be my light and be my salvation, because all I want is to be in the light. All I want is to be in the light. You may not be perfect, but that's the cry of your heart and the trajectory of your life. That's a sign of life, a sign of the life of God coming into you. Let's pray. Lord, thank you for the gospel. Thank you for Jesus. And thank you, Lord, that people like us, selfish, self-directed, deceived, doing our own thing, can be brought from darkness into light, can actually enter into your supernatural life. To not just believe the right things, but to actually experience life in you and through you. And if that's the case, then we're going to change. Things are going to change, and it's not going to be you adjusting to us, but you purifying us and allowing us to experience more of that light as you purify us, Father. And so, Lord, as we think about these words tonight from your word, as we leave here tonight with that thought in our head, asking the question, is this a moment of confidence and assurance, not in ourselves, but in you, because we've seen you at work in our lives? Or maybe for some of us, Lord, we're looking at this thing, and I don't think this is the cry of my heart. I don't think this is the pattern, and maybe I need to explore this further. And so, Lord, we just commit that to you. We commit the response of each of our hearts to you. And as we worship now, Father, would you just continue to take your word and plant it deep in our hearts? Would you wash it over our minds? And would it lead us to have a decision moment, if you will, with you, dear Lord, to ask where we stand? Please be with us now in our worship, in Jesus' name. Amen.